content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share with you information from various medical sources. From the Associated Press by Marilyn Marchione, study suggests more women may benefit from bone drugs. A bone-strengthening drug given by IV every 18 months greatly lowered the risk of fracture in certain older women, a large study found. The results suggest these medicines might help more people than those who get them now and can be used less often, too. Broken bones are a scourge of aging. A hip fracture can start a long decline that lands someone in a nursing home. The risk is most common in women after menopause. But who should use drugs called bisphosphonates is debatable. They're recommended for people with severely brittle bones called osteoporosis, but their value is less clear for millions of others with moderate bone loss. Yet, that's the group in whom 80% of the fractures occur, and the new results suggest they also may benefit from treatment, says Dr. Ian Reed of the University of Auckland in New Zealand. He led the study reported recently at an American Society for Bone and Mineral Research meeting in Montreal and published by the New England Journal of Medicine about bone loss. Estrogen keeps bones strong. They weaken after menopause when levels of that hormone drop. It often gets worse after 65, and women of that age are advised to have bone mineral density scan, a low-dose x-ray to estimate bone strength. If osteoporosis is found, treatment usually is Fosamax, Boniva, or generic versions of these drugs, which help prevent bone from being lost faster than the body is able to renew it. Some people don't stick with the pills or endure digestive side effects, so the medicines also can be given by IV, intravenously, usually once a year. However, concern about some rare side effects have limited their use, along with a lack of evidence that they might help before bone loss becomes severe. The new research. The study involved 2,000 women, average age 71, with moderate bone loss. One quarter had previously had a fracture. They were assigned to get a Novartis drug sold as Reclast, R-E-C-L-A-S-T, in the United States, and Aclasta, A-C-L-A-S-T-A, elsewhere, or a placebo IV solution every 18 months. After 6 years, 122 women in the drug group had broken a bone versus 190 of those on placebo, a 37% lowered risk. The drug also cut in half the risk of a vertebral fracture when bone compression causes part of the spine to collapse. For every 15 women like this, treated for 6 years, one fracture was prevented, a ratio that some experts said makes treatment worth considering. Two rare problems are linked to bisphosphonates: deterioration of the jawbone and unusual leg fractures. No cases of either occurred, but the study wasn't big enough to rule out this risk. Breakthrough leukemia treatment backfires in a rare case, from the New York Times by Denise Grady. A highly unusual death has exposed a weak spot in a groundbreaking cancer treatment. One rogue cell genetically altered by the therapy can spiral out of control in a patient and cause a fatal relapse. The treatment, a form of immunotherapy, genetically engineers a patient's own white blood cells to fight cancer. Sometimes described as a living drug, it has brought lasting remissions to leukemia patients who were on the brink of death. Among them is Emily Whitehead, the first child to receive the treatment in 2012 when she was six. The treatment does not always work, and side effects can be dangerous, even life-threatening. Doctors have learned to manage them, but in one patient, the therapy seems to have backfired in a previously unknown way. He was 20 years old with an aggressive type of leukemia. The treatment altered not just his cancer-fighting cells, but also inadvertently the genes of one leukemia cell. The genetic change made that cell invisible to the ones that had been programmed to seek and destroy cancer. The researchers noted that the case confirms a long-standing hypothesis. It takes just one malignant cell to give rise to a deadly cancer. Their report was published recently in the journal Nature Medicine. At first, the patient had a complete remission, but at the same time, that single enemy cell was multiplying uncontrollably into billions of leukemia cells that caused a relapse 9 months later and ultimately killed him. His cells were engineered at the University of Pennsylvania, where the treatment called CAR-T therapy was developed in collaboration with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the drug company Novartis. The treatment was experimental, and he was part of a study. Researchers say that the case was a rare event, never seen before, and that there is no evidence of this problem in cells engineered by Novartis, other drug companies, or other research centers. This case is the sad flip side of another one, reported in May, in which a leukemia patient's remission was traced back to a single cell, a genetically altered immune system cell that reproduced unstoppably and fought the disease. The patient who died had B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia that had relapsed several times after standard treatments. The People's Pharmacy. ED drugs are so costly, but why? Question. Drugs for erectile dysfunction are all extremely expensive. Are their prices being fixed, as I suspect? The price has steadily increased to about $60 a pill, and the prices are virtually the same for each brand name drug. This has been the case since three ED drugs became available. This can't be by coincidence. I've tried to interest my congressmen and senators about this, but have had no response whatsoever. Can you spur a congressional investigation? Answers. Drugs for erectile dysfunction are indeed pricey. A single 10 milligram dose of Cialis, tadalafil, costs about $60. Levitra, vardenafil, is also nearly $60 a pill. As you have noted, brand name Viagra, Cilindafil, is in the same ballpark. The generic version is substantially less expensive, however. We have no way of determining how drug companies adjust their prices. Competition is supposed to lead to lower prices, but it doesn't seem to work that way all the time for brand name prescription drugs. Generic drugs are not immune. Last spring, 45 states and the Department of Justice uncovered a bid rigging scheme that may have cost consumers and businesses $1 billion. The prosecutors found evidence regarding the antibiotic doxycycline, but other generic drugs probably were also affected. Question. My father is 76 and in very good health. His physician has prescribed atorvastatin even though his cholesterol is under 200. He follows a Mediterranean diet with lots of vegetables. He bikes almost every day, but he is starting to complain that his leg muscles are becoming weaker. Does he really need to take a statin? Answer. Doctors have been debating this question for decades. Most of the early clinical trials did not include people over 75. Studies of older people have produced unimpressive and contradictory results. A recent study examined the health records of more than 46,000 people who were at least 75 years old. The authors found that individuals without diabetes who took statins for at least 5 years derived no discernible health benefit. And that's cited in BMJ, September 5, 2018. The statin takers did not have less heart disease or live any longer than people who did not take statins. Older people may be more vulnerable to statin side effects such as muscle weakness. And that's cited in Choosing Wisely, 2014. We discussed this topic in much greater detail, along with other medications that can be problematic for older people, in our book, Top Screw-Ups. It's available at www.peoplespharmacy.com. Cool water is great aid for kitchen burn. Question. I read in your column about a woman who burned her hand on a curling iron. She used cold soy sauce to relieve the pain. Many years ago, I absentmindedly poured boiling water from the tea kettle over my hand instead of in the cup or the mug. The pain was incredible. I grabbed a large pot and filled it with ice and water. I put my hand in the icy water to relieve the pain. When the hand got numb, I took it out of the water. And when it started to hurt again, I would submerge my hand again. I continued this for a couple of hours until the pain was gone. My hand never blistered or showed signs of a burn. Answer. An article in JAMA, August 27, 1960, recommended ice water as first aid for burns. The physician reported, in each of 150 cases, pain was immediately relieved and the extent of the redness and blistering visibly reduced. Local cooling was continued for several hours until pain no longer returned when the part was taken out of the bath. This form of treatment has advantages in emergency care for lesser burns, since it is easily available, inexpensive, humane, and promptly effective. More recent first aid advice suggests cool water without ice. An animal study showed that ice water cooling is associated with an increase in tissue damage, and that's cited in Burns, B-U-R-N-S, November 2007. Question. I work as a nurse on night shift. I'm trying to do everything I can to stay healthy. I use melatonin to sleep during the day. I have trouble sleeping more than about 3 or 4 hours unless I take it. Is this safe to continue? Answer. There is concern that night shift workers may be at increased risk of developing breast cancer, citing current environmental health reports, September 2017. The workers have their natural rhythm of melatonin production disrupted, and this may play a role in cancer susceptibility. Spanish scientists have suggested that women like you possibly should take melatonin to offset this risk, and that's cited in the journal Molecules, February 6, 2018. They point out, however, that there are not enough clinical trials to evaluate this approach. A painstaking review of the literature concluded that melatonin may help with sleeping problems associated with shift work, cited in Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews, August 12, 2014. A study of emergency physicians working night shifts found that, quote, melatonin might have a limited benefit on sleep quality, unquote, cited in World Journal of Emergency Medicine, 2018, Volume 9, Number 4. To learn more, consult our online e-guide to getting a good night's sleep at www.peoplespharmacy.com. People's Pharmacy again. How to keep plantar warts from returning on feet? Question. I've been plagued with plantar warts for most of my adult life. I got rid of the most recent one by treating it persistently with salicylic acid. Now I want to prevent reinfection. This is a virus, isn't it? How long will it live in my slippers and shoes and cause recurrence? Should I buy a box of bandages and apply them on the soles of my feet for a month to protect myself? Answer. Instead of bandages, try clean socks every day. That's the advice the Mayo Clinic offers, and it makes sense to us. Plantar warts appear on the soles of the feet. They're caused by the HPV or human papillomavirus. Why some people are more susceptible than others remains a medical mystery. Genetics and immune function probably play key roles. Recommendations for preventing recurrences include not going barefoot in locker rooms nor around swimming pools. Wash your hands after you touch a wart. We've collected many home remedies for plantar warts. They include applications of tincture, T-I-N-C-T-U-R-E, tincture, of iodine, tea tree oil, and turmeric and olive oil to the wart. Some people report success in taping a banana peel, the fleshy side of the skin, to the wart overnight. Others say that soaking the foot in hot, salty water for 30 to 90 minutes a week is also helpful. Read more details in our book, Quick and Handy Home Remedies. Question. I read in your column about a mother who purchased C-bands, S-E-A-B-A-N-D-S, C-bands for her son who had trouble sleeping. These elastic wristbands are sold to counteract nausea and motion sickness, but they helped her son sleep. Having had trouble sleeping myself, I bought a pair of C-bands and tried them out. They worked the first night and have kept on working. Of course, I know this quick remedy won't work for all insomniacs. I told my doctor about it, and he shrugged and said nothing. But I hope that others will try it and benefit. Answer. C-bands are elastic wristbands with an embedded plastic button that are supposed to be placed over an acupuncture point. For getting to sleep, the point is called the inner gate. It is located between the two tendons on the inner side of the wrist, about three finger widths from the crease where the hand meets the wrist. A review of four studies on acupuncture suggests that this technique can improve sleep for some people, and that's cited in Sleep Medicine Reviews, February 2018. Don't stop taking aspirin suddenly. Question. There was an article in my newspaper about some new research on older people in good health showing that taking low dosages of aspirin does not lower their risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, or disability. The aspirin increased the risk of significant bleeding in the digestive tract and brain and other side effects. My wife and I have been taking aspirin for years, hoping and believing we were doing good. To date, neither one of us has had any heart issues. Our question is, should we continue taking the low dosage or stop immediately? And the answer is, the new research published in the New England Journal of Medicine, September 16, 2018, found that aspirin did not prevent heart attacks in healthy people over 70 years old. You are right that volunteers taking aspirin were more likely to experience bleeding problems. Your question seems simple, but the answer is not. You should not discontinue aspirin suddenly without checking with your doctors. Last year, Swedish investigators reported a higher rate of heart attacks and strokes in people who suddenly stopped taking low-dose aspirin, and that's cited in Circulation, September 26, 2017. Your doctors will assess your risk of heart disease before offering a plan of action. Question. I was taking brand name Celebrex for my arthritis until my insurance company switched me to the generic drug. This is not worth the money I paid for it. My pain level increased dramatically and also started having problems with additional joints. What's the gain in taking something that doesn't work? I am unable to live a good quality of life without adequate pain relief. Answer. We have heard from a great many readers who have complained about the ineffective generic Celecoxib or Celebrex. We have no way of determining which generic drug companies may be cutting corners with their quality control. There is another option. One generic manufacturer has an agreement with Pfizer, the original maker of Celebrex. Greenstone, that's spelled G-R-E-E-N-S-T-O-N, Greenstone distributes an authorized generic Celecoxib that should work the same as the brand name. To learn more about authorized generics and how to use generic drugs wisely, you may wish to read our online resource, E-Guide to Saving Money on Medicines. It may be assessed through www.peoplespharmacy.com. Critics demand that huge sepsis study be stopped. From the New York Times by Ronnie Karen Rabin. A large government trial comparing treatments for a life-threatening condition called sepsis is putting participants at risk of organ failure and even death, critics charge, and should be immediately shut down. A detailed analysis of the trial design prepared by senior investigators at the National Institutes of Health Clinical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, concluded that the study, quote, places seriously ill patients at risk without the possibility of gaining information that can provide benefits either to the subjects or to future patients, unquote. In a letter to the Federal Office for Human Research Protection, representatives of public, Citizens Health Research Group compared the study called CLOVERS, C-L-O-V-E-R-S, to an experiment that would be conducted on laboratory animals. The human subjects of the CLOVERS trial, as designed and currently conducted, are unwitting guinea pigs in a physiology experiment, Dr. Michael Carome and Dr. Sidney Wolf wrote in their letter. Begun in March, CLOVERS is funded by the NIH despite the criticism of its own investigators. It aims to enroll 2,320 patients at 44 hospitals around the country. In interviews, the scientists leading the study defended its design, saying that participants are receiving all the care that sepsis patients normally would receive. The guiding principle is patient safety, which takes priority over all else, says Dr. Nathan Shapiro, an associate professor of emergency medicine at Harvard Medical School and co-chairman of the protocol committee for the study. Sepsis develops when the body mounts an overwhelming attack against an infection, causing inflammation throughout the body. It is first treated with antibiotics. If sepsis progresses, the body may experience a catastrophic cascade of changes, including blood clots and leaky blood vessels that impede blood flow to organs. At least 1 million Americans are diagnosed with sepsis every year, and the death rate is high. Up to 30% succumb to the illness. Demand creates shortages for shingles vaccine. From the New York Times by Denise Grady. Shingrix, S-I-S-H-I-N-G-R-I-X, the vaccine approved last year to prevent shingles, has proved so popular that its maker, GlaxoSmithKline, has not been able to produce it quickly enough to keep up with the demand. The vaccine is recommended for most people older than 50, but many are having trouble getting it. The company says there are no manufacturing problems, it just didn't expect so many consumers to want the vaccine. Uptake was very, very quick, and enthusiasm was very, very high, said a company spokesman, Sean Clements. People are eager to avoid shingles. It causes a rash that can be extremely painful, itchy, and debilitating, and sometimes leaves nerve damage that can produce pain lasting months or years. Most likely to develop in people over 50, shingles occurs when the chickenpox virus, which goes dormant after the childhood illness, is reactivated. It's a common ailment. One in three people will have it at some point in their lives, and it can flare up more than once. In studies, two Shingrix injections, 2 to 6 months apart, were more than 90% effective in preventing the rash, and close to 90% effective at warding off the nerve complications. That made it far more effective than an earlier shingles vaccine. Shingrix has been met with an unprecedented level of demand from patients and healthcare professionals, the company said in an emailed statement, noting that it is significantly increasing and accelerating shipments of Shingrix this year. The statement also said, "We are shipping large volumes of Shingrix every 2 to 3 weeks and expect that schedule to continue for the remainder of the year. Patients can use the Shingrix Vaccine Finder or Shingrix.com to locate providers or pharmacies that have been offering the vaccine. It is recommended that patients call locations before their visit to ensure a vaccine is available. The shipments tend to have been used up within a few days of being delivered," Clements said. He added, "Some places I have it, some don't." He could not predict when supply might catch up with demand. "It's such a great public health story to see something embraced this much and for people to be so excited to get their second dose," Clements said. Patients don't quite share the rosy view. "The shortfalls are irksome to some who have received the first shot and been unable to get the second one." Ralph Stern, 81, in Orange, Connecticut, said he and his wife had their first injections in April but have not been able to track down a second dose, even though they have tried the recommended vaccine finder and called drugstores and supermarkets that are supposed to have the vaccine. From the Harvard Health Letter, do urgent care clinics overprescribe antibiotics? Urgent care clinics are convenient when you don't feel well and can't see your doctor right away. But a study online in July 16, 2018 by JAMA Internal Medicine found that people who go to such clinics may be more likely to be given prescriptions for unnecessary antibiotics. Researchers analyzed 156 million insurance claims from 2014 and found that 46% of people treated at urgent care centers for viral conditions like a bad cold, the flu, or viral bronchitis were prescribed antibiotics. The problem, antibiotics kill only bacteria, not viruses. The study underscores the need to ask healthcare workers if you have a viral or a bacterial condition before you take antibiotics. Scam targets people buying medicine online. If you've tried to buy medications by phone or on the internet but received an FDA warning letter instead, beware. The FDA warns that criminals are forging these notes, possibly with the goal of later getting your money. The letters look official, like they're from the FDA or the Federal Trade Commission, and they claim that the FDA has identified drug violations based on a review of your parcel and social media accounts. Don't be fooled. The FDA doesn't send letters to consumers, so why are you getting one? The FDA says it may because you're contacting an illegal online pharmacy. Many of these illegal websites appear legitimate, and it can be hard to tell the difference, notes FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb. They may try to sell your personal information or charge you for products you never ordered. And scams aren't the only risks. Illegal pharmacies typically sell counterfeit and unsafe medicines. If you believe you've received a fake warning letter, email the FDA at FDA Internet Pharmacy Task Force - CDER at FDA.HHS.gov. Send information about the letter or a scan or a photo of the document. Antidepressants tied to weight gain. We're learning more about the link between weight gain and several major classes of antidepressants such as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors or SSRIs like Zoloft and tricyclic antidepressants such as Alavil or amitriptyline. Research has shown that putting on pounds is a possible short-term side effect of the medications, but a study published in May 2018 in the BMJ, British Medical Journal, suggests that antidepressants are also associated with sustained weight gain. Researchers analyzed the health information of more than 300,000 people in the United Kingdom, average age 51, who had their weight and body mass index measured at doctor appointments between 2004-2014. And we're going to have to continue this on the next session because we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.